Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, February 2nd, 2017. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How's it going, John?
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Good morning. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I am good. Thanks for having us, man.
Sweet. I'm glad you guys are doing well. I'm also glad that Blue Apron is our sponsor this week because I like to eat. It's true. I do. Although there's people out there that would probably disagree and they'd be like, how can you forget to eat? Well, I just do. But anyhow, that's not the point. The point is that we have cool stuff to talk about today, or at least interesting stuff. And we're going to start with ebook sales. So here's the deal. Ebook sales have dropped below print book sales overall just recently.
And for the first time since 2012.
Yes. And John, you were looking at that drop in sales and what's happening with the tablet market. So am I correct in assuming that you think there's a correlation between the drop in ebook sales and the current state of tablet sales?
It's a complicated phenomenon, one that's surprising, unexpected, and rather complex. Who'd have thunk? The key line from the article was this: consumers, this is a Publisher's Weekly article that I quoted, consumers who use dedicated ebook readers have consistently been found to purchase more ebooks than consumers who use other devices, that it means tablets, to read. So that's the key sentence. In the first quarter of 2011, more than 70% of ebook buyers said they used a dedicated ebook device to read ebooks, a percentage that fell to 24% in the second quarter of 2016. So it's kind of complicated, but if I can explain it simply, what I take that to mean is that purchasers of dedicated ebooks, like e-readers like Kindle Fire and Barnes & Noble Nook, were the most devoted purchasers of ebooks. Tablet users, less so. So when people stopped buying dedicated readers, the slack was not taken up by the tablet readers and their, say, Kindle or Nook apps. And so that resulted in a net loss of ebook unit sales that eventually fell below that of hardbacks.
Okay.
Now, so I'm assuming that hardback and paperback sales were always greater than ebooks, but ebooks surpassed hardbacks in 2011.
All right. So now,
so it's kind of a complicated thing to explain. I hope I explained it well enough.
I think you explained it well, and I'm going to throw a question at you. So if we have sales of tablets and dedicated ebook readers slowing, that doesn't mean that we have fewer tablets and ebook readers on the market. It just means not as many are being sold. But the numbers, even if they're dropping off for sales, mean that overall there's more product out there that can read an ebook. So,
yeah, but it was weighted by the dominance of the early dominance of dedicated readers. And so that weighted the sales of ebooks in favor of dedicated ebook readers. But as time went on, the sales of dedicated ebook readers went down, and while the sales of, say, iPads per quarter have gone down, the installed base continues to rise a little bit because more are sold every quarter. So the installed base increases, mm-hmm. albeit slowly, because of the decline by quarter of sales. So what's happened is that the installed base of, for example, iPads and the motivation of the users to buy ebooks hasn't been enough to offset the drop off in sales of dedicated ebook readers, which had the most devoted ebook buyers.
Do we have firm information that dedicated ebook readers have declined? That's we know that iPad sales are down, but do we know that Kindle sales are down?
Well, that's part of the problem with Kindle sales, because we never get numbers for those. We just get statements like sales are great. So we don't know from Amazon if Kindle sales are really increasing, or if they're flat, or if they've been decreasing. So what I'm wondering,
well, but that's part of John's entire premise here. So if the foundational, right, John, help me out here, because it doesn't seem like we know some of what you're saying, do we?
Yeah, it's an inference in one respect, because when you say 70% of ebook buyers said they use dedicated ebook devices to read, 24% in 2011 and 24% in the second quarter of 2016, does that express a declining lack of interest or loss of ebook, dedicated ebook reader sales, or both? So the data I have doesn't dig that deep into it.
All right. So is it also possible that interest in ebooks is declining and people are finding they just prefer print books?
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. And one of the articles I read in relation to this pointed out that there's been some dissatisfaction with the evolution of ebooks. The EPUB and MOBI formats haven't evolved fast enough to suit customers, in that you don't get one-to-one page correlation to the paperback book because of the way the text size can change and vary on the page, and because you don't always get the cover art, and the reading experience isn't always as good as you'd like it to be. And limitations and the evolution of the ebook reading formats haven't evolved fast enough. And then there's the DRM to be thrown in there that creates a headache. So that's been a source of irritation for customers.
You know, yeah, I can see that. I've actually been disappointed with a few of the ebooks that I've purchased for the Kindle app on my iPad, because what I've gotten were versions of the book before it was finished going through the editing process. So it wasn't what was going on press. It was an earlier version. So there were lots of typographic errors. And then in...
That's not necessarily before it went through the editing process at this point. Thanks to some of the very forces we're talking about here, a lot of books simply get less editing.
Yes, I know that's true. However, at least one of the books where it had painful typographic errors, there is even at the front of the book a statement about how this was not the finished version that was going on press.
That's just ridiculous.
I agree.
I have noticed in my case that a lot of the science fiction books that we buy on Kindle don't have the glorious cover art. Some of them, but probably 80% do not, at least of the ones we buy. And that's irritating, because the cover art of science fiction books is often interesting and rather glorious and convoluted and kind of punctuates the book. The major reason Publishers Weekly cited is the cause of the slowdown in ebook sales was price. And I was surprised by that, too. It turns out that price is the number one criteria for ebook buyers. And the reduction in places to buy the books, the sort of domination by Amazon, the return to the agency pricing has raised the price of ebooks to the point where apparently buyers are often paused by the increase in price.
There have been times where I've gone to buy a book off Amazon, and I would have purchased the Kindle version, but it was actually cheaper to get the print version.
Or in many cases, the value equation of buying the paperback or hardback, even though it's more, is a good trade-off, because you get the right to sell it. You get all the diagrams, you get the cover art. One of the readers in the article pointed out how, and this is one reason why I stopped reading magazines on my iPad, is because, you know, you just pick up a book anytime and start yellow marking it and read it. And it's a bit of a annoyance to have to go in and find your, you know, fire up the iPad. If its battery is not charged, you have to wait for it to charge. And then you have to find the book and find where you were. And for some people, that's a bit of a hassle.
Sure.
So if the price, and if it's a technical book with lots of color plates and prints and diagrams and photos, it's often worth the extra money to buy the hardback book, especially when you have free 2-day shipping.
Sure. And in some cases, it's actually cheaper to buy that beautiful hardback book than the ebook version. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, John.
But you pointed out yesterday a very interesting article just before I published mine about an initiative to use web technologies to enhance the quality and readability of ebooks, the W3C merger.
That, yeah.
So that we should cool. link to that too in the show notes.
Yes.
Andrew wrote that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll make sure that we have a link to that in the show notes. So, John, what percentage, and I know I'm just totally blindsiding you with this because I didn't warn you ahead of time, mostly because I just came up with a question. Mm-hmm. What percentage of the books that you read are print versus digital?
It's about 50-50, and I explain that in the article. We have a strategy in the household. When we buy books, it's either because I need it right away for my theology research, or it's a science fiction book or light reading, where when you read it, it's done and you don't want to have it on the shelf taking up space. So these are either light reading reference material, science fiction, where we don't really need to keep it. And if our entire Kindle library were to go poof someday, it wouldn't matter. There are other books where I either want to support the author or I want to have a part of my library. Like I have a collection of books on relativity and science and cosmology and astrophysics. And I have a bookcase with those. And I often buy the hardback because of the diagrams, access to it, being able to just reach over or pick it up and read it at bedtime or whatever. So I make a decision about the longevity of the book and the reference value of the book versus, you know, light reading and digital poof if necessary.
All right, Brian, how about you?
Every book I have read for years has been in iBooks with a rare Kindle. I haven't, as much as I love print books, I haven't bought a print book in a long time.
And for me, I went through this phase where I started buying a lot of ebooks. And over the past year, it's been sliding back towards more and more print books, which
interesting.
Yeah.
I don't do iBooks. This article gave me pause when I read it. I thought, oh no, now Apple's going to lose interest in iBooks too, because sales are down and it's not growing anymore and it's not a big thing. It could come back. The tide could turn. So years ago, my wife and I made it decision to focus on Kindle books because we had Kindle readers around the house, because we thought Amazon would always be in the book business, but Apple might not. So that was our thinking.
All right. Well, listeners, I'm curious, what are you doing? Are you reading more ebooks or more print books? Let me know. And it may help John as he continues to watch what's going on in this market space too. So you can let me know on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I'm going to check all those places to see what you have to say, because I'm genuinely interested and I have a feeling John is going to be as well. And we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Blue Apron. And Blue Apron, what they do is go out and find all of the really good, high-quality ingredients that they need so that they can put together recipes that we make ourselves. And what they do is they ship all of this really good food to you with the recipes and instructions on how to turn them into amazing meals. And you know, that includes just all kinds of interesting things that you might not otherwise think to try, like, say, roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad, which on first blush sounds like it's a lot of work, but they went to the trouble of taking care of the hard part for you, which is finding all the ingredients, finding the right recipe, and getting it to your house. So all you have to do is pull everything out of a box, look at the beautiful instruction sheets, and make some food, and it's going to taste good, and you're going to be happy, and happy full tummies. That's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And the pricing for what they're doing is pretty reasonable as well. It averages out to under $10 per person per meal. And for what you're getting, you can't go to a restaurant and get the same price. It would cost you a lot more. So what you guys can do is save even more money, because you can get three meals from your first order for free. So the way this works is you go to the special URL that Blue Apron has given us, and that's blueapron.com/TDO, blueapron.com/TDO. And when you go there, you can pick out the meals for your order, and three of the meals in that order are going to be free. And you're not going to pay shipping, which is pretty awesome. So you save even more money. So that's blueapron.com/TDO. The food is really good. I've been really impressed. And I'm pretty picky about food. So if I'm impressed, odds are you will be too. So go check them out. Get yourself some free meals off your first order, blueapron.com/TDO. And thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor. All right, the other thing that I want to look at today, there's a patent that just recently surfaced, and this relates to the Apple Watch, and it's a patent for Apple making a band that actually has a battery in it, so you can have a longer life Apple Watch. And and I'm curious, what do you guys think about this?
I think it's a specialty kind of thing. I wouldn't think that everybody would be running out and buying it. I think it would be a useful case where somebody's going to be, you know, in a field operation for quite a while, and they won't be able to get back to their quarters and charge their phone overnight like we all do.
What? When the hell did everybody start living on a military base in your world?
No, I said field operations. I didn't say military.
You said barracks and quarters.
Well, you field operations. I'm an ex-military, and I have that mentality. I'm thinking about situations where you're out camping. You know,
Brian, when you're out camping in your barracks.
Yeah. But I see this as a kind of a supplement thing for special occasions. But I don't see it as a widespread kind of thing. It's nice to have. It's nice to know it's going to be there if they implement the patent. That's my first reaction.
Yeah, my first reaction is, wait, you mean it's possible that I could actually take my Apple Watch on camping trips? Because right now, if I go out into the mountains and I'm going to be overnight, I don't even take my Apple Watch with me, because I'm not going to be able to use it more than a day. Mm-hmm. So having a convenient way to be able to run an Apple Watch for more than 24 hours, where I'm doing heart rate and I'm tracking all my steps, you know, all the stuff that I really want to use the watch for when I'm outside, I would like to see something that would let me supplement that.
Yeah, well, here's what you're both missing.
Okay.
If you can put a battery in the strap, that means you can change the strap out and change the batteries, and you could wear the thing all the time. So you could also wear it for sleep tracking.
Wear it for sleep tracking.
Mm. I mean, I don't know how many people are truly going to want to change their bands out, but for those who are interested in it, you could do that, and you could wear this watch 24/7.
Okay, that just became a lot more compelling.
Good thought, Brian.
More like 23.9998.
Right, because there's that half a minute where you have to swap out the band.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, okay, so I'll take that a step farther. If you're doing sleep tracking and you're using these battery bands, so you can just wear your watch all the time, the theater mode feature suddenly becomes a lot more useful, because if you're moving your arm around while you're asleep, you're going to move it at times where it wakes up the screen.
Bingo.
Which could disturb your sleep, or if you sleep with someone else, it could disturb their sleep. So if you put it in theater mode, that screen's not going to wake up, and you can do sleep tracking all night long and have your watch less likely to disturb you.
Well, two out of the three participants this morning are brilliant. You guys.
Shucks.
Oh, John, you're brilliant too. We're all brilliant in our own way.
Hey, we are not giving out participation trophies at TMO.
No.
No, the dialogue's great.
No, we won't hand out participation trophies, but we will find valid trophies for each person that are not participation. How's that sound?
Fine.
All right. Well, on that uplifting note, we are out of time. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's always fun. John, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And thanks for letting me put you on the spot a little bit about ebooks. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Head over to the Blue Apron website, blueapron.com/TDO. Get 3 meals off your first order for free and free shipping. So thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor. And thanks again, listeners. We will see everyone again tomorrow.